Hey, this is Jadon Mickens, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you are locked on Jaguars. Duval!
All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter, at @Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, at @MistoCristofo. Chris, how you doing tonight?
I said, it's not football season, so you know, it's going.
Yeah, really slow, really slow. I've been trying to keep myself out of sports since the draft, because that was a lot of football and stuff to take in, which, speaking of, we just got back from the draft this past week. Chris and I made a road trip out to Dallas to check out AT&T Stadium and the entire NFL draft experience, and that was fun. I suggest that trip to anyone that's been wanting to go to the NFL draft. Get it done sooner than later. It's getting better and better every year. Having it in a football stadium was definitely, I'm sure, a different experience compared to music halls and stuff like that. But now that we're back, we're starting to crank out that dead season content, and we decided what we wanted to do was do a full Locked On NFL Network crossover series, try and get every team on here to discuss how they feel their team handled the offseason, and then begin to look forward to the 2018 season as we start to try and wind down to training camp coming in about 2 months. So joining us for our first episode in this Locked On NFL crossover series is our friend from Locked On Texans, Robert Land. Robert, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. Excited to be talking about real players instead of, hey, what's the projected, the mock, the maybe, the... Yeah, it's good to talk about some real guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can go ahead and get right into that then. I know we talked about free agency probably a month or so before the draft. We had done a crossover episode then. But looking back on free agency, now that the draft is in the rearview mirror, how do you feel like they really did in free agency and how that led up to the draft?
Well, I think if you're looking with the Texans, and we can almost combine it a little bit with what happened in the draft, there were two areas that they really had to figure out. I mean, the offensive line was a total disaster. Everybody knows it's one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. And the other one, a little bit under the radar for maybe people outside of Houston and maybe some for some Texans fans as well, but the secondary had a lot of issues. So they had to correct that. And I tell you what, I think a lot more Texans fans are excited about what they did with the secondary in the offseason than the offensive line. Free agency, they got three offensive linemen. We talked about it a couple months ago. Guys that are those under the radar that you hope work out, that maybe if everything works out, the dominoes fall, you could have got something. But if you look at what they did in the secondary and you combine it in the draft and free agency, they did an incredible job. You know, picking up Aaron Colvin, you guys know about him. Obviously, mm-hmm. that was a huge need to do something at cornerback. Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, both aging. So you got somebody to a little bit more solid, a little bit younger, and so that's good. Then the big fish of probably the whole offseason for the Texans was getting Tyrann Mathieu. That was where you got some real juice, some real excitement. You know, I saw some places where, oh, the Texans didn't get anybody that had any, you know, real juice or this big, huge player. But for the Texans, Tyrann Mathieu was a big deal because their safety play has been a joke for most of the franchise's history. You can't find more than two good seasons from any two safeties combined. I mean, it's like, oh, maybe there was one good season from Daniel Manning. There was one good season from Marcus Coleman way back in the early years, but it's been a joke. So you not only do you get Tyrann Mathieu, but then let's get to the draft. And the big thing was no first-round pick, no second-round pick. So now they have three third-round picks. At least it's still three picks in the top 100. So you're going to get some good players with that. But the Texans' third-round picks have been an absolute catastrophe. Well, it all starts off really good when you get Justin Reed, who was somebody that I think a lot of people had on their boards as a safety that was going to be drafted in the first or second round. Many people familiar with his brother, Eric Reed. Of course, he had to look for a job because he's involved with, you know, the whole kneeling situation and, you know, what's going on with that. And there's a collusion lawsuit, NFL Players Association's involved. But Justin Reed, just like his brother Eric, he is really talented, really smart from everything you hear. you know, the Texans really nailed that pick. And to me, you get a safety that can help this team over the next 5 to 10 years at least, and somebody that has a lot of talent in a lot of different areas, can do a lot of different things. You know, I mean, if we're going to start the conversation, guys, that's where you start with. They fixed so much of the secondary issues.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Because, I mean, I'm trying to go back and look at how each team approached this offseason. Obviously, that's kind of important for me to do this crossover series. But you do look at it, and I know we talked about it earlier in the offseason, that, like you said, the offensive line and the secondary were the two things that they needed to fix. And you've got three new starters in that secondary, one being, like you said, a prospect that was supposed to go much earlier, the diamond of their free agency in Tyrann Mathieu, and then taking the flyer on Aaron Colvin to try and move him outside. I do believe that that secondary is going to see a dramatic improvement.
Absolutely, no question about it. I mean, I think you just improved three spots dramatically. And Justin Reed, he's a Stanford guy. Of course, he's intelligent. Of course, he brings some of that leadership that a lot of the Stanford players have coming in, and Ty Mathieu brings that leadership as well. So you have two guys, not only that bring the talent that they've got, but also I think they're going to bring a lot of leadership to a defense that doesn't need a ton more leadership, but you can't have too much. I mean, you got J.J. Watt. You got Bernardrick McKinney. Those guys bring leadership. Whitney Merciless to a degree as well. Jonathan Joseph. So many guys that have, you know, that cachet with them on defense. And this defense that I think was a disaster for most of last year without J.J. Watt and without Whitney Merciless and the secondary issues that all of a sudden became a problem after not being too bad the previous year. I think this defense, it's going to see a dramatic improvement. I think everybody's going to get caught up in the flash and dash with the Texans, and everybody's watching Deshaun Watson. But watch what happens with this defense, and Romeo Crennel is back in the driver's seat. So that's a huge part of this equation. Now, the offensive line, they draft with the second pick of the third round, Martinez Rankin out of Mississippi State. They want him to be a tackle from everything that we're hearing. They're projecting him as maybe a starting tackle this season. If not, it's Julion Davenport, who they drafted in the fourth round last year. Didn't play a ton, partially because of injuries, partially because he's a Bucknell guy. He was going to have a huge learning curve coming into the NFL. But I think Julion Davenport has got the physical tools to be a good tackle in this league. Let's see how he develops. Let's see what happens coming into this year. But it's those two guys, I think, are fighting it out for the left tackle. And then in free agency, they got Chantrell Henderson at the right tackle, who's got all sorts of talent, but has had Crohn's disease, had his intestines taken out in the process. I mean, he just has gone through hell over the last couple of years. He's back. Supposedly, he's 100%. So if you make those tackle positions way better than they were last year, that offensive line improves dramatically. But basically, they are replacing 4 or 5 guys. Only center Nick Martin's coming back. The two guards, it should be Zach Thomas, who they got. I believe trying to remember a name, Zach Thomas, or correct me if I'm wrong, I'm blanking on the names right now, but Zach is going to be playing one guard they got in free agency, and then the other guard is Calamete, Senio Calamete, who they picked up. That's a possibility, but it's also possible that they could put Martinez Rankin, the draft pick, right there. He's somebody that's moved around, played different positions. A lot of draft people think, oh, he's going to be a better guard in the NFL, but the Texans really like him at tackle. But those two picks are where it all starts for the Texans in this draft. And I think the first one they nailed. The question is, what can Rankin do? Can he really help them with that second pick in the third round? The third pick in the third round, that's a total wild card. They picked Jordan Akins. He's out of your neck of the woods, a Central Florida guy, Florida kid, that's going to be bringing a lot of speed. But he's a 26-year-old tight end that can't block a ton. They need help at tight end. That's probably the third biggest position for them, because C.J. Fedorowicz, who's been their starter for the last couple of years, he had to retire, tons of concussion issues over the last couple of years. So he's basically out. And Ryan Griffin, who had concussion issues last year, was their number two guy. Steven Thompson, he was the third guy. Steven Anderson, but Steven really, you know, he was an undrafted free agent. So they needed to nail the tight end position, and we'll see what they get with Jordan Akins. They're all about, all they talk about is longer, stronger, and faster. That the new GM Brian Game, that's the mantra. And Jordan Akins is fast, and they got another tight end in the sixth round, Jordan Thomas. The Jordans, both of them are fast, they're athletic. The question is, you know, what can they do in the NFL? Because some people saw them as very much either wild cards or reaches. The other speed that they got in the draft, and this is something, somebody that I think a lot of Texans fans are excited about. Kiki Cutie is how you say his name. So he's a cutie out of Texas Tech. 5'9" slot guy, you know, just he's going to do things in space. They cannot get the slot position right. They've been looking for years. They failed at third-round wide receivers over the years. Jalen Strong, Braxton Miller so far has been a failure. That you go back to Devere Posey. So they've gone third-round wide receiver time after time. Well, hopefully the fourth round is the charm, because you put Kiki Cutie and the speed that he's got, and if he can just catch the football and get open – Deshaun Watson should be able to find him. You put that speed with Will Fuller's speed, with DeAndre Hopkins, and all of a sudden, you got some weapons out there, and maybe either this Jordan Akins or Jordan Thomas, Thomas also another Mississippi State guy, one of these two tight ends that they picked up in the draft is going to give you a ton of weapons for Deshaun Watson. That's what is going to be really fun to see, is what happens with that. But Cutie and Will Fuller, the speed they bring a wide receiver, is should be fun to watch anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Texans really knocked the first at least five picks out of the in the draft, like out of the park. Going back with Reed, I thought that was a solid pick. And then when you're talking about Martinez Rankin, the Texans do need a lot of help on the O-line. They've been filling those holes this past offseason, but I think Rankin's a really good pick because he is really versatile. If somebody goes down on the interior, he can go in there. He could play tackle.
People even like him at center.
Yeah. And then Akins, Zach probably knows more about him than I do, being a UCF fan. I thought he was good because
he's
good.
He's a guy that you want to put into a spread type of offense and have him be that like signature move tight end. Like you said, he really won't offer you too much as a blocker. But I mean, if you're trying to make this passing game a lot more comfortable to what Deshaun Watson is comfortable running, I think Akins ends up being a perfect type of move tight end that you can throw into a slot position and have him move around as an H-back. He could even help in the running game at that point, because he is a speedy guy as well.
And then just, it seemed like last year all the injuries to the Texans were the tight ends. So they didn't get one, but they got two, like you mentioned, the two Jordans. Kiki Cutie was also a very good pick that I liked because he can compete for that slot spot. He's fast. He had really good production at Texas Tech, so you're getting a local guy. And he might even be able to compete for a field, for a return job. So that'll be interesting. And then you got my defensive gem that I have been in love with for the whole draft process, and Duke Ejiofor. They'll probably move him to outside linebacker in that 3-4 defense in Houston. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes or how he plays there, especially off the torn labrum. But out of all these draft picks, who do you think has the biggest impact on the Texans in their rookie year?
I'd have to think Justin Reed. I mean, just because of what we're expecting with the talent that he's got, what he can bring at safety. I mean, I feel like he's got a great shot to come in and start immediately. Bill O'Brien doesn't necessarily like starting guys early on. But when you look at the safety position coming in, you know, Ty Matthews got one of the spots. There's no question about it. But, I mean, it's Andre Howell and Corey Moore. They've got a couple of guys that, you know, they're just not tremendously talented. They're not anything special. Justin Reed might have a lot more of that special ability that you're looking for. So he's definitely, to me, he's got the chance to make the really huge impact. Now, if Martinez Rankin can start at left tackle – and he turns into something quickly, well, obviously that's going to make a huge difference. I mean, but I just don't know. Offensive linemen, you know, typically they don't trust guys, rookies coming in. I mean, even probably one of the positions that you're going to trust the least is offensive linemen, left tackles, especially coming in and doing something. So that's why I'm guessing that Justin Reed's the guy that really jumps off the page. Duke Ejiofor, you mentioned him. 6-round pick. I mean, if people don't know, a lot of people had him 3rd or 4th round grade. I mean, he was a guy that was supposed to be much more talented than some others, but he's coming off this injury. But he's a Houston kid. He went to Alief Taylor High School, which is like 15 minutes from where I grew up. So, you know, he's just down the road in Houston, same high school that produced the Bennett brothers, Martellus and Michael Bennett. Everybody knows those guys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you get something out of Duke Ejiofor, that's a bonus, but you're talking about a 6-round pick. They had 3 6-round picks. They had 2 compensatory picks. They get a guy out of Stanford, a linebacker that I think is more apt to be a special teams contributor his first year. And then it's Peter Kalambayi, and these names, it seems like they get harder and harder each year.
As you go down the draft board, they just get harder. That's part of the reason why they dropped.
Yeah. It's just, I keep every year, I'm just like, I need a pronunciation guy. And then I remember asking that we asked Duke Ejiofor, how do you pronounce his name? And over the intercom or whatever, right after he was drafted. And then he gave us 2 different pronunciations. We everybody just kind of look at each other like, what? the last guy that they picked up, who's the comp pick, of course, was Jordan Thomas, who I already mentioned. They picked 7th round, Jermaine Kelly, cornerback. I mean, if he's helping you out on special teams, that's a bonus. But the special teams, I do want to talk about that because, you know, most organizations, it's not a major topic, I'm sure, going into drafts. It's not a major topic going into offseason. But the Texans, their special teams have been a disaster for the most part for several years now. They can't get it right. They bring in a special teams coordinator from New England who won 3 championships under Belichick. He's been around for a long time. He's had incredible success. So you throw him in, but then you get in free agency, another underrated like free agent guy that nobody talked about probably nationally, but this Johnson Bademosi, who's a Stanford kid, but he's been playing with New England, the type of guy that could lead the NFL in tackles. I believe he has at one point on special teams. So that's the big problem with special teams with them more than anything. They don't get the explosion out of the returners, but even bigger than that, they never seem to stop guys. I mean, they're giving up way too much yardage on punt returns and kickoff returns. So you add Bademosi, and then they've done some other just little things, little tweaks, guys here and there later in the draft or guys that they picked up that you think could really help them on special teams. And if they can make a big leap on special teams, I mean, that's a huge deal because, I mean, when you just don't normally see teams that are not good at special teams that are bad at it going on to make Super Bowl runs. It just that just doesn't happen.
Right. It's just as important part of the game as other aspects. And I think that gets really underrated. That's something that Jacksonville was sure to address throughout the free agency period, especially. I think they brought in like 3 new special teamers as well as drafted a new punter. So we're in the same boat there in terms of reevaluating the special teams. I'll go ahead and take it over to looking ahead to training camp, preseason timing. Who would you say is probably the best training camp battle that you're looking forward to seeing, or are there a couple of intriguing ones out there that with this new class of Texans coming in?
Well, the new class, it's, I'm going to combine free agency and the draft. It's the offensive line. Who's playing where, what position? The one thing they talk about all the time, Brian Gain, his buzzword just nonstop. And this goes back to Bill O'Brien. These guys are on the same page where Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien were not, but they talk about versatility. I mean, it's just that word must come out 14 times every single press conference that Brian Gain has. Versatility, versatility. So what they've done on the offensive line is they've gotten all of these guys that you go, okay, he can play guard, tackle, center, but where is he going to play? And then you try to ask him, where do you think this guy's going to play? Well, we'll see. We're going to pick the 5 best offensive line. It's a weird way to go in to a camp, into the off season where you're going into OTAs and mini camp and all that sort of stuff. And you're trying to figure out who's going to play. I mean, they obviously have to have something in their mind where some of these guys are going to play, but a lot of ways we just have no idea. There's just, I mean, we're just, we're kind of wondering, like, what's going to happen with this guy? What's going to happen? We're taking educated guesses. We're thinking, oh, okay, this guy might be at guard. This guy might be at center. This guy might be at guard. That the problem with what they've done at the offensive line, and this is where we're going to see if it's a problem or not, because we're going to see how it turns out. But when you draft all these guys that and bring in all these guys that are versatile, but they're not really great at any one position, you're just setting yourself up for what a lot of people think is a ceiling of an average offensive line. If every guy is okay at his position, then you've just got an average offensive line. I get it. It's great to have the versatility. If there are injuries, and the Texans led the NFL and the world in injuries last year, and so that's part of the equation. But I think what it does is you give yourself this idea of, like, we're going to just set ourselves up for, in some ways, a mediocre offensive line. Now, with what they did last year, hey, mediocre would be an improvement. I mean, it'd be standing ovation. We'd be going crazy at NRG Stadium. Look, they're average. They're playing like an average offensive line. So I
remember that feeling like 2 years ago. It was abysmal. Now, some of the biggest question marks coming out, like, out of the offseason are your franchise quarterback and the face of the franchise, J.J. Watt. How are they progressing through from their injuries from last year?
From everything that you hear, they're saying all the right things. I mean, you just don't know until you start seeing them play. And I'm not worried as much about Deshaun Watson, because he's come back from an ACL injury before. He knows what he's doing. He's done it before. He wins a national championship after he did it the last time, so that's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
With JJ, it's a different story, because it's two different injuries and over the course of the last 2 to 3 years. It's the back and it's the leg. So, and there's, I mean, these are very major injuries that he's trying to come back from, and a multiple amount of injuries that he's trying to come back from.
They seem to be adding up at this point.
So with JJ, that's going to be, I don't even know if I'm going to know where he's at until maybe the first game, to be honest. I mean, I think we'll have a good idea with Deshaun, maybe by training camp, more likely when you start seeing him in preseason. Okay, is he doing those Deshaun things that we're used to seeing? And those are much more obvious. They're out in space. JJ, it's trying to judge what a defensive end is doing in a preseason game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I don't know how you do that. So, I mean, there's guys that are trained to do this. They're scouts. I don't pretend to be one. So it's going to be a wait and see. I'm going to start noticing something, I think, the first game. And we're not expecting him to be the old JJ. But if he's just like 75 or 80% of that, he's still a really good defensive end. But you've got Clowney, and now he's like great, which he wasn't when JJ was great. So that helps out. Whitney Mercilus, he's going to come back from this injury fine. It's a torn pectoral. He's already ready to go. So that's right. good for him. If you look at the offense, though, the other concern, and we haven't talked about this, but you look what the Eagles did when their quarterback goes down. They bring in Nick Foles, and Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl. The Texans' backup is Brandon Whedon. They didn't draft anybody. Texans fans are going, come on, we're not going in with Brandon Whedon. I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, we've seen Deshaun Watson already go down with an injury once. We know in the NFL, guys go down with injuries. You got to get something better than Brandon Whedon. But Brian Gain was asked point blank. I was right there at his press conference after the draft. You know, do you need somebody else? Are you going to bring in somebody else at backup quarterback? He said, we are satisfied with the guys that we have right now, which, you know, every Texan fan just shook their head and punched the wall at that. But I mean, that's what they believe. And Brandon Whedon, when he did play 2 or 3 years ago, when he got in a game or two with the Texans, he was fine. You know, he threw, I think, 3 touchdowns. He either had 0 or 1 interception in that time that he did play. And, you know, he's got the long history of doing what he's done. But I mean, we got to be honest. I mean, the Nick Foles are the outliers. The, you know, I don't know, Jeff Hostetlers are the outliers. I mean, the guys that come in as a backup quarterback and take their team to win a Super Bowl, it just it just next to never happens. Mm-hmm. And if you're
right,
if that's what you're going to base your entire draft on or your entire offseason on, whether, you know, your backup quarterback is as good as maybe one of the best, could be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year. Definitely when he played, he was one of the best last year. Then, you know, I think you're sweating over nothing.
Mm-hmm. If you have that, that means you just have a complete luxury in your hands.
Right. And maybe somebody slips through the cracks and, you know, a team cuts somebody that you're not expecting. I'm going to give you a situation just to look for. And I haven't heard nothing from this from the Texans, and I don't know if they be interested in all, or in any of this at all. But did you guys notice the Steelers drafted a quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Mason Rudolph. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be pretty good, right? Pretty good for that middle round guy.
Especially for a role where he's going to be there and he's going to sit and learn for a while and potentially be the heir to Roethlisberger. Yeah, he's valued.
And then they also on the roster have a pretty good backup already, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got Landry Jones, and then they've got Josh Dobbs, who they drafted last year out of Tennessee. So he played barely at all last year, if he even played, but he's a fresh guy going into his second year in the NFL. So I'd figure one of those two guys are gone.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe if you're the Steelers, you might want to get something back for Landry Jones if you like what you see and the new kid. So you go, well, let's put him on the block, maybe dump some salary or something like that. And the Texans right now, I mean, they've got some contract extensions that they're trying to get done, especially with Jadeveon Clowney. But $34 million is their cap space right now. Mm-hmm. And they could very potentially use it all on Clowney with upfront money and bonuses and stuff like that. But it gives them that luxury to eat up something like that. And just as a throwaway, but they've got Jeff Allen, who was their starting guard the last couple of years. And to be honest with you, I mean, he stunk and we weren't real happy with him. And if they cut him, he's got some dead money, but he's also got $5 million you can dump off the cap. Mm-hmm. So if you get to camp or if you get close to, you know, you're going through OTAs and minicamp and you start looking at the offensive linemen that you have and you're like, well, we really don't need to start Jeff Allen. And why are we going to pay this guy $5 million to back up when we might have some guys around here that could do that just as well? Then let's dump him. Some people are a little surprised he's not already gone. It's not something that I think a ton of people are talking about, but the diehards are kind of looking at Jeff Allen's contract going, oh, what's going on with that over there? So right. We'll see.
Well, then after that, I've got two questions left and then we can wrap it up. One, you already mentioned a very little bit, but where's the progress at in a potential Jadeveon Clowney contract extension? Because from what I've read is that he wants it and he wants it soon.
And Brian Gaines said in his press conference, they asked him about it. You know, he won't talk about it. You know, just to say that, you know, it's something that we'd like to get done. I mean, more or less. I mean, that's, you know, the Texans, they keep things pretty quiet. I mean, we don't find out anything major unless Ian Rappaport tells us. He's basically their insider. And but other than that, I mean, you don't find out a ton until it happens typically. So, you know, it's just kind of a wait and see thing. I mean, they definitely, there's no doubt they want Clowney and they want to re-sign him. And it's interesting because I think when Clowney came into the NFL, and you guys remember this, there was question marks about his motor and how badly he was going to try and put forth effort and all that. Well, Clowney, he's got this kind of demeanor that's kind of a fun-loving guy. And I think it kind of, people misread it. And they've misread it for the first couple of years with the Texans. But now I think people are starting to understand there's no question about this guy's desire and want to, and he wants to be great. So I don't think there's going to be a concern about he's going to get the big contract and then you're going to see Clowney not trying as hard, not putting forth the effort. I think you're going to see the same Jadeveon Clowney out there working, trying to be better, trying to be great. And he likes to go out there and hit people. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be a deal where I think it's going to get done. It's just a matter of time.
And then looking forward to the 2018 season, how do you think the Texans will end up doing just based on how this offseason has gone? Dramatic improvement, about the same, which hopefully not, and even worse, hopefully no going backwards at all. But where do you see this team going in 2018?
Honestly, I mean, I see a dramatic improvement. They've just there's so many areas where I can look at a position and go, they've gotten better. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen with injuries. And we could have never forecast what happened last year. But they've also done stuff to build more depth. And, I hate putting this out there because you end up, you know, doing the potential jinx on the team that you're following.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, the likelihood that they have anywhere close to these kind of injuries isn't there. And they also got a new trainer, and they've basically redone their entire behind the scenes stuff. They've redone the weight room, and they're not even allowed to call it the weight room anymore. Brian Gaines said his guy doesn't even like to call it the weight room. it's that nice and that different as to what they're doing, but they totally redone that sort of stuff. And they brought in somebody that's considered quite possibly the best in the NFL. He was with the Broncos. They had so many injuries. They felt like the way they could improve that is the behind-the-scenes stuff that they were doing. A lot of concussions. They feel like there's stuff that they can do to change the concussions, whether it's, I don't know, it's strengthening the area around the neck or whatever it is. And things may also change with these rule changes. I'm interested to see how that's going to affect concussions and with the helmet situation and what's going to happen there. But I just see usually if – you don't have a ton of injuries 1 year, the next year you have a ton of injuries. And I think it works vice versa. So I would think it would even out a little bit, but they've got depth at a lot of different places. The only place they can't afford to lose somebody is Deshaun, of course. But, you know, that's my thinking, where the Texans and the Jags, the gap closes in a big old hurry, because, you know, from what I saw with the Jags last year, I just didn't see a ton of injuries with the Jags, and I'm wondering if that changes a little bit this year. I mean, is that something that you guys are concerned about?
That terrifies me, because the Jags, I would say, were probably like 90-95% healthy last year. I don't think they lost any key players besides Allen Robinson in week one. He was really the only significant injury that missed time last year.
And the thing is that I'm not expecting this defense to be able to completely replicate what they did last year, because in some aspects of their game, it was almost historic. There were records broken, all that, and that's just so hard. You can't possibly ask a defense to, hey, go do that again like it's normal. So with that, on top of the idea that they were really lucky with injuries, I think it's both are added together as a solid, big-time concern for me.
What I will say with your defense, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you talk about depth. I mean, they might not be able to replicate it with a couple guys, but they're so deep in the front seven.
They definitely helped that on the defensive tackle side by drafting Taven Bryant 29th overall. But then safety, them getting Ronnie Harrison in the third, I think was a really good depth move. If either of the safeties go down, I think Harrison can play both spots. Corner, we'll see. They have some guys that have been on the roster for a few years, but depth-wise, I feel like they addressed it better, or they got better in the offseason. So hopefully it doesn't come down to that, but if it does, I'm a little more confident this year than I was last year.
Well, I figure that should pretty much do it for us, unless you guys have any last notes that you want to put in there, but I think this should be a pretty good preview for anyone who wants to hear about Houston Texans football for the 2018 season.
Yeah, the only other note I would throw in there is the running back situation. Speaking of depth, a little bit concerned because Deontay Foreman, the third round pick last year, who looked really good, like he really was going to turn into something, and then he gets hurt sort of towards the end of the year, and it's one of those injuries where it's a 6 to 9 month recovery, more likely 9 months, which puts you right there on the edge of game one. They're talking about he could be on the PUP list to start the season. So you got Lamar Miller, and then the backup is Alfred Blue, and then there's And Tyler Ervin is coming back from an injury that cost him the entire season. And he hasn't really looked anything special as a running back anyway since he's been in Houston. So the running back situation, I would say that's something that they're going to have to improve on. But you can find those guys. That's not a big concern. I mean, running backs are out there, as everybody knows that follows the NFL.
Right. Dime a dozen, as some like to say with the position. So, well, then I think that'll just about do it. Robert, thank you so much for coming on and talking Texans football with us. We'll be sure to do some more crossovers as we get into the season with y'all.
Absolutely, guys. Looking forward to it.
And you can be sure to follow Robert on Twitter at HST Podcast for Houston Sports Talk, as well as his co-host Brian Patterson at BRKP1999, and of course, the Locked On Texans handle. As for Chris and I, we are logging off. We'll be joined next week by Locked On Titans for a crossover with them. Be sure to check out some of the other work we've been doing over at the site. I'm currently doing a breakdown film room for each of the draft picks, as well as a couple undrafted free agents. We'll have a lot more coming at you there. As like I said at the start of the show, be sure to follow Chris at MistoCristofo, myself at Zach_Goodall, and of course, the Locked On Jaguars handle. We will catch up with you all next week.